And welcome to The Truth About Fiction. I'm Lynn Michelle.
And I'm Derek Thompson.
And we're going to talk about the whole hard, grinding business of being a writer, of writing and being published.
We're going to shatter some myths, break some hearts, and hopefully bring you something inspiring. But most of all, we will tell it how it is.
Okay, Avril. In the last podcast I made with Derek, I did rather put words into your mouth. So I would like a chance to come back to you and let you have your own say. We were talking about the similarities between your Sometimes a River Song and the hugely, hugely popular Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes.
Which has gone all the way up to a Hollywood movie, and it's just got massive visibility, million copies. Oh,
11 million copies.
11 million copies. And several readers have written in to me and said, you do know, don't you, that these two books are uncannily alike. They both feature a semi-wild girl living in a very rural, almost primitive community. Mm. And in both novels, the girl finds her freedom through literacy. Yes. And in both novels, there is a very strong backcloth of nature, the surroundings, the context, the landscape. In fact, one of my other authors asked me about the possibility of suing for libel. I said, no way, I'm not suing Penguin, but I do take on board these comments about how similar the two novels are. And Derek said to me, does Avril mind that her novel has been published by Linen Press, not Penguin, and has sold, I think now, about 400 or 500 copies? And I said, oh no, she doesn't mind. She's content. And when I finished recording, I thought, no, that's much too glib. So may I ask you, can I ask you how you feel?
Okay, well, I think a bit of content, I think mainly content. I think you were right when you said that. But every now and again, when the subject's raised, or when somebody emailed me recently to say everything that you're saying, and some people in fact say that they liked Sometimes a River Song better than When the Crawdads Sing. I don't see that. I loved that book when I read it, and I think I saw there were still a lot of differences, although I saw the similarities. I couldn't see my book as better, but I know some people do. When it's raised, particularly publicly, when someone says something on Twitter, as they did recently, I'll think, I'll think it's a shame. I think it's, you know, for the book almost, that... You know, if it is as good, that it hasn't been read 11 million times or whatever. But I'm perfectly happy with the way I chose to go with it. And I deliberately, by the time I wrote Sometimes a River Song, I had enough of dealing with the publishing world, with the agents, and I absolutely knew I wanted to go it alone. And you know, when I found you and you had such a positive, reaction to the book and to my writing, that was everything to me, and it has continued to be. And some people do have said to me, and my husband, unfortunately, is one of them. He constantly says, because of course men think a lot about money, I think. That's a bit of a generalization, but I think there's some truth in it. And he will say, but also I think because he supports me, your book should have sold more. You know, it's not fair. He he doesn't think that Lynn Press should have sold more of my book. He just thinks that the world of publishing is not fair. And I think to some extent, we all feel that, you know, that small independent presses and their authors can't compete with the Delia Owens of this world. So sometimes that rankles a bit for me, just in a general sense, you know, that we're all of us who are involved with independent publishing and small presses are in that position. So sometimes that, you know, that bothers me, but no, you were right to say that I was more than content for it to be published by Lynn Press. And I feel that the whole experience, say, of working with you, Lynn, is, you know, is so intimate in a way, you know, and I like being part of this small group of writers. And there's so much I like about being involved with Lynn Press that I wouldn't want to give up. Does that answer?
I think that's really generous of you, Avril, because I feel torn. I feel very happy that that book came to me because I love it. It's one of my favourite books. I relate to it really closely, and I've loved working with you. And alongside that, though, goes guilt that I'm aware that this book is very, very good. It also has a popular appeal. It is accessible, people relate to it, people love it. The number of readers that have written in and said, I loved Sometimes a River Song. So really it should be up there. It should be up there amongst the books that are bestsellers. And I do feel bad that it isn't. And I am powerless through lack of finance, I think, mainly, to push it any further. I don't know how to push your book up to those other much hyped books. When I open my Kindle, when I finished reading a novel and it says, if you like that, you'll like this. And down at the bottom, there are all these, the most emotional book or the most gripping book since, the most heartwarming, and they're not. I would say the most ordinary, the most formulaic, the most mundanely written, whereas your book isn't. It's special. It has an amazing background. You have an eye for detail, which is just astonishing. And the story flows, and we relate so much to what you write. So I am sad it isn't up there. So I'm in this rather strange juggling position. But I'm so glad you've stayed with me. This is something else Derek asked me. He said, do your authors stay with you or do they move on to the big presses? And I said, mostly they stay. And you've certainly stayed. And we've put out two more books.
Yes. And, you know, I consider myself to be really fortunate to have found Lynn Press. And you know, part of that is also, Lynn, the long story, which I won't really go into, but having had two agents, two...
I would like you to tell that story, Avril. If you can tell it briefly, it relates to what we're going to talk about in the next podcast about the awful rejections we've had. Would you like to tell that story about how Sometimes a River Song nearly got up there?
Well, no, it wasn't. I didn't send Sometimes a River Song out, Lynn, to anybody else. It was my other work before.
Okay, Sometimes. I got that wrong. Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Right. Do you want me to talk about that or not?
Yes, I'll ask Derek to cut that little bit out. So which book was it that almost...
Well, it sort of stretched over a number of books. The first book I wrote was called The Sweet Track. And I sent it to a well-known agent. I don't want to name her. A friend of mine who's a writer knew, somebody who was also a writer said, well, tell Avril to send it to so-and-so. And I did. And a few weeks later, I had a letter. This was before email, so it does go back, saying, I've read your, you know, submission and however many, you know, first so many chapters. I'd like you to come to London and discuss your future with me.
Wow.
And so it was wow, yeah. And also I heard on the grapevine, because via this author who knew her, that she said it was the best thing that had landed on her desk in 10 years.
My goodness.
So I went to London, I met her, we talked about the book. She asked for minor changes, really. There was one chapter, she said, which she felt was just window dressing, didn't go anywhere. I could kind of see what she meant. It was very small changes. So I made the changes. And then she, I didn't realise she was going to do this. We didn't, I was a bit overawed by the whole thing, as you can imagine. And then she put the book up for, or, you know, agents sometimes do when they think they've got something mm-hmm. that is really going to go well. She put it out to six different publishers and nobody wanted it. So, yeah, that was a real blow to her. It was a blow to me. Everything went extremely quiet. I found it all so terribly difficult. One minute it was come to London, talk about your future. The next minute was silence for weeks and weeks, months probably, of this book that was going to be. She even spoke to me about who would play the roles of the women in the book. It were a film. Yeah. So the response to the book, the rejections, I saw some of them were that, one of them was, well, she said to me, it's too working class. That was one of them, you know, it wasn't a jolly book about some agent, publisher had said, you know, really friendship is such a wonderful thing. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a dark thing. And in the sweet track, it's really, at the end, you know, it's all about friendship between women. I often write about friendship between women. Yes. So, you know, anyway, so then I wrote the next book. She said to me, just get on and write the next book. So I did. So another year or a year and a half later, I sent her that and she said, oh, I don't like it. Ugh. It's like an old-fashioned Maggie O'Farrell. So then I sent that to another agent who really liked it and who took me on. But she probably was the wrong agent because a lot of her writers were crime fiction. Again, it was through somebody I knew. And she had said, oh, tell Avril to send her work to me because I know she had seen the sweet track and turned it down. And she'd said, I know she's a really good writer. And then, so she really liked that book. And there was quite a lot about sex in it and gardens. And so she asked me to put more sex in it. So I did. And anyway, she didn't sell it as the upshot. I saw some of the rejections for that, which were very Bloomsbury was, we think one day Avril Joy will write something very special. Headline, I'm sorry, I've had this so long, I couldn't make up my mind. There's so much about it that's, you know, good, blah, 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 blah. But she, you know, as an agent then, she didn't persist with anything. And the story goes on like that. I feel I'm going on too long here, Lynn, but that's how the story went on. And in the end, I was so wrung out by it all. I almost gave up writing. And then what happened was I did a short story workshop and I thought, oh, I'll write some. I gave a short story workshop and I didn't know much about short stories, so I had to read tons of short stories in a short space of time, and it kind of turned me on to that. And I think I thought, I made a New Year's resolution. Look, I can't go on like this because it's torture. Well, there was another book as well. There was a third book and that was going to go to an English publisher and Soho Press in New York. And it looked like the whole deal was on. They'd have my CV, my photograph, blah, blah, blah. And then it fell through. So it was like, I can't stand this any longer. So I made a New Year's resolution that I would just write for myself and for pleasure, that had given me in the first instance so much pleasure. literature, and that was all being sucked out of it by this huge machine that was publishing, you know. And so I started writing short stories, and then, you know, I won the Costa, and that, you know, really kind of perked me up. And from that moment, but I was never ever going to go back and look for an agent or a major publisher after that, because, you know, some people can take that degree of rejection and, you know, having their hopes raised and then dashed and all that. But, and I'm quite a resilient person in some ways, but not on a personal level like that. And so eventually I found Linen Press. So.
Oh, Avril, it's quite a saga. And it's not, it didn't happen once. It happened three times. I think people need to know that. I think writers listening in need to be aware of how rocky the road is ahead of them if they're thinking of publication. And I'll talk about this some more, because I have hundreds and hundreds of submissions coming in, and most of them are about 100 rungs on the ladder below your books. So I don't know whether they have a different perception of their writing or what, but, or whether we have a more realistic perception of our writing. But what strikes me about your story is how you picked yourself up from such a kicking you got. You did manage to pick yourself up.
I did, but I think that was because I didn't start writing until I was about, just before I was 50. When I, you know, I was working in prison, and I met Wendy, the writer in residence, and began writing. And it was like a light went on for me. You know, it was like all my life I had felt this kind of, some kind of hole in me, you know, that some desire to be creative and not be able to find how, you know, how. And before, I'd done bits of artwork, drawing, collage, and then suddenly I found this thing, writing, which of course when I think about it fitted with all the years and years I'd spent as a reader, particularly as a child. As so many writers, you know, do. And I just couldn't give it up because I loved it. I loved it. My first book, I wrote, I was a senior manager in the prison and I had two teenage children, but I would come home night after night, exhausted from work, make the tea, but I couldn't wait to get up to the room, to the computer, because I just couldn't believe the magic of it all. And I lost that along the way. And I think it was I thought to myself, I have to get that back. I have to get the love of writing, because so much.
You did, with Sometimes a Little Song, and you brought the magic to that as well. So it's kind of a happy ending, but it still doesn't answer.
It's a very happy ending for me, which is why it doesn't matter at the end of the day how many copies Delia Owens sells.
Well, I think those that read your book love it. You know that, and I know that from the letters that come in and the comments that come in and the reviews. Your writing is very much loved. So, and you have a new book out very soon.
I do.
And I hope that will be loved in the same way. So I think, I think you've told it exactly how it is, Avril. That's been really good.
Good. Well, thank you. I hope I have. And thank you to, you know, thanks to Linen Press, because you do make, you know, you make my books come true. You know, you publish my books, and for a writer, what is more important than having your words out there? Nothing, yes. I don't think, really.
Well, thank you, Avril. Thank you so much for talking. And I think your story is going to be important for other writers listening in. So we might talk again, but for now, bye.